want to go there, you know. Oh, I was there, you know. Just thank you for the Daniel and his team, the media team, for all their faithfulness and hard work. And I know right now, keep praying. Our couples are away on their retreat, and just ready to receive all God has for them. But I didn't know that I was going to be with you this morning in light of the video. I was scheduled to teach a few weeks ago, but then this guy John Dawson came in town, you know. And so you've been okay with Pastor Joe, right? It would have been good times, right? I think the Lord has an assignment for us, because some of those seeds that were sown this past week, and I know are going to seed into your lives this morning. Amen? Because we're going to open the Word, and that's what we do here. And so my prayer for you is that it's going to fall on good soil. You know, Jesus talks about that parable, you know, the seed that is sown, which is the Word of God. Sometimes it falls on good soil, and it produces a wonderful, fruitful tree and fruit in your lives. And sometimes it falls on stony ground, or the enemy comes and snatches it away. And that's what I want to speak to you. I want to kind of that, in fact, Eddie mentioned that we can grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of understanding of who we are in Christ. Because to be honest, my prayer is that all of us will live a faith-filled life. But as a pastor, to be honest, I do tend to get discouraged when I see us not living in a faith-filled life. You know, I get discouraged because, man, we have, you know, my temptation was to title this "No More Excuses." You know, I've been a part of so many camps. And I feel like every weekend I'm going to an event, coming from an event. I've been a part of national events. I've seen God do some amazing things. I've preached my heart out in so many sermons. You know, in fact, this is my 10th gathering of a session within like 6 days, you know, of just pouring my heart out and seeing God, you know, planting seeds in people's hearts. But what discourages me is when I don't see people living in the fullness of what God has for them. You know, especially when we have our iPhones today, you know, when it comes to getting the Word of God in us. You know, none of us have no excuse. I mean, you can hear some great preachers like John Dawson. You know, there's some great people that you can tap into. There's some great worship teams out there that can lead us into the presence of the Lord. There's plenty of conferences to go to. I mean, there's radio stations you could turn on to. I mean, there's so much we can have that God has planted into us that really none of us have an excuse of why we can't be growing. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Yet the truth is, many people, their lives are not filled with faith. Even the church at large, you think, man, God would be exploding in the states and in every county. And God is moving, but not like we talked about in worship, not to the capacity that we know that God really wants to move. And I'm reminded in Exodus and also in the book of Numbers, when God spoke to Moses, the people were under slavery, they were under bondage. And God says, no more. I have a place that I have for you. I have a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to rescue you from your bondage, and I'm going to do miraculous things. You guys might know the stories, you know. Then God appears to Moses at the burning bush, right? And then he takes the people away from Pharaoh, and he leads them to the desert, and he parts the Red Sea. And as they're going to the promised land, they witness so many different miracles of God's provision, of his hand on their life, you know, right? And as they're going, he's providing manna from heaven, miraculous, many miracles. But then it says there in Numbers chapter 11, it says they were all dried up. They thought that even God did all these miracles in the past, that he had put them out in the desert to die, to fail. And even though God has moved in the past, I'm not sure if God can do it again. We sang that song. You know, I'm not sure if God, you know, I've done some things in the past, and maybe I've put myself in this situation, but I don't know if I can experience breakthrough going forward. And many of us, our faith is that kind of faith. And just like the nation of Israel, what they do, they start to complain. They started making all these excuses, like, where are you, God? And they were all dried up. And so my question for you is, where do you go when you feel like your world is all dried up? You feel like your world is falling apart. It can be the simplest thing as a marriage. You're saying, no, God, there's no way God can save my marriage. It could be what's happening with you might have broken dreams. You know, you're at this place of you're retired, and everything that you dreamed for is, my dreams are over. And your faith is wounded. It could be physical health. It could be your own kids. You know, you had a dream for your for the family unit, and it's not happening. Where do you go? How do you respond in those situations? You know, we just finished up an amazing series. It was called Faith Alive. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, we did it. Yeah, more than one person can clap. It was incredible, right? You know? Yeah, amen, yeah. How you doing? I mean, you can go back and get the tapes. You can re-listen to them. We got some amazing teaching. Pastor Rick and the team, we spent, I don't know, like 4 or 6 weeks talking about how we can have vibrant faith. How's it going? Are you living in that faith-filled life? Or are you still not experiencing that kind of breakthrough? You're still looking for, okay, what do I need to do? Of course, we all know what we need to do, you know. God calls us what to do. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to believe. I want you to live a holy life. You know, I'm recognizing this Sunday, I'm honored to be able to share the word with you this morning, simply because, just to make it official, Dr. Graham changed his address. Did you guys hear about that? He's got a change of address. You know, don't remember when Dr. Billy Graham, when he said that, when you hear that I have died, don't believe it. He says, do not believe it. I've only changed my address. And so Dr. Billy Graham is fully alive, by the way. They had a service for them, and they gave you his address. But Dr. Billy Graham, he had the most powerful message. But his message was absolutely very simple. When you hear Dr. Billy Graham teach, what would he say? He would say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he would compel us, and he would have a simple message of the cross. And not only does Jesus love you, he wants to forgive you of your sins. And his message is always based on the cross. And he would remind us that the cross is offensive to many, to all. Because the cross reminds us that all of us are a sinner. That all of us are in need of forgiveness. We're all faced with that truth. And you can choose. And what he would say, you can choose to believe today. You can choose to believe today. He would say how sin is a disease to the human heart. It affects every part of our life. But God wants to heal us. And part of that sin is unbelief. Part of that sin is doubt. And he would lead us in a simple prayer, and people would respond. He said, repent and believe today. And millions upon millions responded to that word. But today, to pray and to believe, that's old school. To simply pray, to simply respond to the cross, that's not enough for us. To wait, to pray until you experience breakthrough, to hold on to God's promises, I'm not going to be moved, but I'm going to walk in faith. Those days are not really these days. These days we want more. We have iPhones now. We have technology, right? I want an answer. So what we do, we seek after an answer. We try to get a prophetic word. We go to a conference. We go to camps. We go to marriage and canon. Those are all good. We're looking for something. God, give me an easy answer. We're looking for maybe the next bailout, right? And we're not satisfied with what God has already spoken in his word. You see, the reason why the Israelites were so dried up, it says in the word in Numbers, it says their appetite was perverted. Even though they were going to the promised land, their passions were still in Egypt. They desired things that were not of the Lord. Notice it says in Numbers 4, it says, now the mixed multitude yielded to intense cravings. It says in verse 6, their whole being was dried up. There is nothing, he says, there's nothing for us except for this manna to eat. You see, they're craving things from the past. And instead of crying out to God, the people cried out to who? Moses. By the way, I need interaction here, man. I'm usually with the kids, the young adults, and they talk to me. 9 o'clock service, they were listening. I'm not used to people listening to me. You know, so you gotta be interactive with me, all right? You gotta engage with me, right? Because you're gonna put me to sleep. You know, I don't want that. It's not a good thing. But the truth is this, is that instead of going to the Father, they went to Moses. You see, we like to go to everybody else for the solution or problems. We want to hear from everybody else, but you know, you have the ultimate source. You have the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why we're called Axiom. By the way, we do have a young adult group. We meet on Tuesday nights. It's awesome. I meet so many people that come here for a year. I never knew you guys gather on Tuesday nights, and that's so you're more than welcome to come join us. It's what we're about. We're called axiom. It's a self-evident truth. We want to live our true calling in life. You see, they weren't at a place where they can go to the Father. You can go to the Father. You can access him at any point and trust in him. But that word intense craving in the Hebrew, it means this. It means te'ava. And it's used in passages like in Genesis. It's used in passages like in Job and 1 Samuel. And what it means, it's a strong desire for something unpleasant. Majority of the time, not all the times. Obviously, hey, bacon's good, you know, garlic's good. But many of the times, our appetites are for things that are not good for us, not best for us. You see, Israel had to yield to their intense cravings. They have to be fully satisfied in him. James says this, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. His own desires. They're saying, who's going to give us meat? God had given them everything they needed, but even though he gave them everything they needed, it wasn't enough. Many of us were never satisfied. He gave us manna to eat. Now, he had more for them, but he wanted to make them to be obviously disciplined. Put them on a CrossFit diet or something. I don't know. But you know what's so amazing? Even though God said that you're not, you know, he said, here's the manna. He didn't say they didn't need to eat meat. They were in the wilderness. They could have hunted their own food. They could have got their own meat. But he wanted God to bail them out. They had their own livestock. If you really want to meet, you know, kill a cow. Chick-fil-A, you know, it's all good. But no. They want to complain. How many of us we're good complainers? You know, and that's what God would provide for them and they would complain. And they got to the point where they're so worked up, it says they started crying about it. It says they were weeping. Oh my God, we're dying out here. I can't take another wafer, you know? It's kind of interesting, you know? Anybody who has kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, you know? They're working up, and they go, are you really crying about this right now? You know, but my dad, the video game, and I had level 10, and I needed level 11. I was that close. You can't be crying right now. I'm thinking of Tom Hanks, right? Remember that movie Tom Hanks where he's managing that girl's baseball team? Right, and the girls are all crying. He goes, there's no crying in baseball. You know, I mean, who are you? But it's true. It's true. Many of us, we cry about the dumbest things. Even born-again believers. Born-again believers. We instead of believing the Lord for it, we just complain and cry about it. And they notice he says, man, I remember when. And then what they start doing, they start romancing about how great it was in Egypt. They were under slavery. It wasn't great in Egypt. But you take 10 years ago, you know, life wasn't so bad back then. I don't know why I complained so much back then. I actually had it pretty good. I had no worries in life. Man, I remember when I used to go fishing, I would catch fish. You know, and when we first caught it, it was this big. And then 20 years later, I caught the fish that was this big. But we start romancing about the past, thinking how great it was back then. And we start focusing on the past when God has something greater for you ahead. Amen? He wants to go from glory to glory. Oh, man, you just seen how, man, I was an athlete. I was a stud. Yeah, right. You know, we heard that one before. But it's so true. It's true. It's logically possible that people, they can, in their minds, they can make up a memory. It never happened. But if they think about it long enough, it actually did happen. People have actually done that. And many times we do. We fantasize about something that's in the past. Because why? We want the quick fix. And really, when we start complaining or we start making excuses or we're not, you know, walking, you know, in faith and moving forward, all we're saying is, God, you're not good enough. You know, at the seed of Sequoia, God gave me a vision of these two seeds. Two seeds that were planted in the same soil right next to each other. They all had the same rain, the same ingredients. One seed sprout up really quick. It was a cherry seed. And the tree bloomed like almost overnight. You know, it felt like, look at that tree. It's awesome. It's got buds. It's producing fruit. Great. This other seed didn't do anything for years. Just sitting there and sitting there. And eventually would break ground while this thing's producing. And you would think that, man, that seed's up. There's nothing going on. But as the years went by, this other seed, which was a sequoia tree, grew to be the largest tree in the world, one of the strongest trees in the world. And what you saw on the top, you couldn't see what was happening on the bottom. Because in order for it to become great, the largest tree in the world, one of the strongest trees in the world, that's able to withstand lightning storms, snowstorms, winds that would blow down a cherry tree like that. Now, the cherry tree had a purpose. But the sequoia tree was built to have a foundation. And for it to be that strong, it needed deeper roots. And some of you, that's what God is doing. You're that sequoia tree. You might not think that, you know, all the promises are being fulfilled, but just wait. In time, in season, God is going to accomplish the task he has for you. Some of you are like cherry trees. You're doing all this kind of stuff. Like, you're awesome, you know? And that's awesome. But each of us have a role. But we want it now. We want it now. In fact, if we don't get it now, when we want answers, what do? You Google something, right? When you know how to fix something, what do? You go on YouTube. You know, I can fix, I'm a mechanic, boom. I can fix my dryer, boom. There's nothing I can do. I got YouTube, you know? Because why? We want answers now. We're not used to this waiting game and this trusting game and the believing game. My friend, he's a photographer. Professional photographer, an amazing photographer. But ever since social media came in or iPhones, he goes, nobody wants a photographer anymore. Everybody's an expert. Everybody's a videographer. There's no need for a professional, right? People pay big money, right, to get answers. People pay for leads. But my question to you is, whatever happened to opening your Bible and to praying and believing in faith that God's going to fulfill his word? But for many people, that's too boring. That's not enough for you. You're not satisfied with that truth. You'd rather walk in despair. We'd rather, myself included, we'd rather not walk in victory, not walk a faith-filled life, but just be us. Just be us. I mean, the Bible says, of my people who will be humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked hands, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, is that truth for Old Testament only? Is that for only the old people in the Old Testament? Or is that for us today? Yeah. But for so many people, that's not good enough. We're not good enough. And I believe that this morning, so many of us, we're tired of making excuses. We're going to stand on God's word. We're going to trust in him. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. And God says that he writes these things in you so your what? Your joy can be full. I write these things so your joy can be full. Now, joy, by the way, surpasses happiness. Happiness is a feeling. It's an emotion. Joy is like the General Sherman tree. Joy is a state of being. It's who I am. It's what is true. And that's why you say, now, how do I tap into that? Like, what is happening in that sequoia tree? Well, it's got a river of life, right? The reason why that sequoia tree is so strong, because the deeper the roots, it accesses water that nobody else can access. And the Bible says that within each of our souls, we have a river of life flowing through us. There's a well that we can tap into. And this morning, I want to look at how can we tap into that well? How can we tap into that resource? That's resource. So I'm going to close with these quick points on how all the qualities of a faith-filled life. And the first one is this. And my wife is sitting in the front row, so she knows this to be true. Is that the reason why we're not walking as a faith-filled life, we're not walking in that joy, even having the happiness, emotion feelings, is because instead of being, we are enslaved to our own will. And when we build our own kingdom, we're not focusing on his kingdom. We're focusing on our own world. All that will bring you is pain and grief and brokenness. Because when I walk into my house and it's not clean the way I want it, man, I'm the grumpy person. I'm not walking in the joy of the Lord. When I walk into my garage and it's not the way I want it, life's terrible. When my kids are not behaving the way I want them to behave, depression. Because so many of us are all about the way we want our worlds to be. We have an idea of what God's kingdom should be. And when life and our promises and our dreams, our retirement account, our bank account, you see, many of us, see, when I lay down my life, when I surrender what I want, then I can see what God wants. Amen? When I can lay down my dreams and my hopes and my dreams, and I can say, God, I want your dreams. And by the way, his kingdom, his ways and dreams are way better than yours. But we're so consumed with our kingdom, our lives, where we want things, we can't even see what God wants. We can't even walk in the fullness of what he wants, because all you have is your understanding. And God says, I want you to open your mind. I want to give you the mind of Christ. When Adam was in the garden, in the beginning, he was with the Father. He was naked. He was naked. It wasn't until he took his eyes off of the Father that he looked down, he goes, and these are the first times in the Bible that Adam says these words in the Bible. When he took his eyes off of the Father, he looked down at himself and he goes, I'm naked. I'm naked. We need to be liberated from our kingdom. And stop building our own kingdom, but building his. Amen? So many of us need to get over ourselves. Carolyn told me that this past week. I was laughing because I was teaching this message. She goes, your kingdom ain't going to happen here. And when she said that, she goes, what you want this, it ain't going to happen, you know? And then she's like, don't go there. I'm in trouble, okay? I'm in trouble. But it was so true. And it brought liberty and freedom. Because when we come together, God's kingdom, it's not about receiving, it's all about giving. I want to turn to you, read to you real quick, Luke chapter 7. About a woman who gave of her life. Luke chapter 7. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet and behind him, weeping, that she began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited them in saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. I think it's interesting that they said, if this man was a prophet, and then he goes on, he reads his mail. He knows exactly what he's thinking. So Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. He goes, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing which was to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he goes, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to him whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Who do you identify in that story? Are you like the woman that when you came to church today, did you come with just in a heart just to give of yourself? Did you come willing? Are you like the woman, or are you like the Pharisees who are always critiquing everything? Have an opinion on everything. I pray that I would like to come as that woman who came to give. You know, how was the greeting today? How was the sound today? Was it too loud, too low? You know, who's teaching today? You know, what's going on with you know? And many of us, when it comes to that, and by the way, when did it ever become okay to critique church? When did it ever be okay to have an opinion about church? And to say, what is worship and what is not worship? You know, when people are coming. And when we come, we come to give. The angel said, holy, holy, holy are you. It blows my mind that people can sit in the same service and have two different opinions. One person can say, man, that was really boring. And one person can say, man, that changed my life. Yeah. One person can say, man, the music was way too loud. And the other person can say, that thing was, turn up. Give me some bass, man. Right? I'm the bass guy, by the way. Bass. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. But notice this woman, she gave of her consent. She wasn't concerned who was around. She didn't even care what religious leaders were there. She came to ask for forgiveness. She came to give the gift of worship. She came falling on her face. We are sometimes as a church, especially the church in America, we are guilty of a consumer mindset. It's all about what programs they have or what they're doing for me. I can imagine the angels after, you know, the book of Revelations, they're singing, holy, holy are you. And then after we're going to say, dude, you were off last night, man. What in the world? Man, what, dude, you're in the wrong key. Man, we got to reevaluate that worship service. Is that going on in the heavens? No, not at all. What moved you to come? Why are you here? To give or to receive? But many of you, you might feel like that woman. You feel like you're disqualified from being in his presence. You know, I struggle with the same sin over and over and over again. You've been coming to the Lord with those same issues for the last 15 years. God doesn't have that much patience. And what you're saying is that your sin is too great for God, that you're bigger than God. Because God can do all things, right? And some of you have been believing for the same promise for like 30 years. And you're 30 years into the sequoia tree, and God is just beginning. Amen? So when it comes to these qualities, lay down your life, but take it to another step further. Look for ways to give of yourself. Because the truth is this, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. The Bible says it's blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus picked the busiest people on the planet to be his disciples. He picked the ones that were the most busiest to be his disciples. And many of us, that's our excuse. I have nothing left to give. We have crazy schedules. You know, my son just started playing Little League, and I'm with all the coaches. I'm helping out on the team, and we're all sitting there talking about our schedules, how they get changed during Little League season. And everybody's going off their list of the things they got to do, you know, places they got to be. And they all got four or five kids coaching three or four teams. And then the guy who oversees the whole league, we're all kind of sitting there whining and complaining and one-upping each other and how busy we are, right? And then the guy goes up, and he has his schedule, like, blows all of ours out of the water. He goes, that's all you guys got going on? You guys are a piece of cake, man. Let me tell you something. God wants to do exceedingly abundant beyond what you can imagine. He does. You know? He wants to do exceedingly abundant beyond. And let me tell you something. That girl who came to give, I guarantee she was the most blessed out of them all. Because when she heard those words, your sins are forgiven, that changed her life forever. Those other Pharisees that are critical and have opinions on anything, they didn't receive that joy. And many of us, we got to break that today. Because a faithful life is the most fulfilled life. And I got to be honest with you, I have a reputation around here at the Cornerstone Church. And G is already smiling because the reputation is this. Boy, if you hang out with Pastor Joe, he's going to plug you into some ministry. You're going to be leading some baby group of kids. You're going to be giving of your life away. You'll be overseeing it. You'll be doing a ministry in a couple of weeks. So be careful. I want to tell you that reputation is true. It's true. I'm guilty. But what you don't hear is when people come back to me and they say, Pastor Joe, thank you. Being a part of this ministry has changed my life. Those little kindergartner boys, man, I never thought I could get so much out of them. I was going to coffee with another kid, a guy the other day, and he goes, man, Pastor Joe, what are you doing to me? He's like mad at me. I go, what'd I do? What are you doing to me? Because ever since I started getting involved in these ministries, I'm changing. And I can't stop serving. And it brings me so much joy. Like, because you're finding your destiny. You know who you are. I got to be honest with you. I am in over my head with the different ministries I oversee. I got ministries that are going on that I don't even attend. And this morning I was up, we have the Knot gathering tonight, and I forgot who it was that came and greeted me. She goes, Pastor Joe. I go, hi, how are you? She goes, yeah, I'm part of your Knot ministry. I go, you are? Yeah, are you going next month? No, tonight. I go, okay, praise God. Didn't even know who she, I had no idea. You know, and right now your kids are being watched by I don't know who, but God is faithful. No, just kidding. No, no, it's because, listen, God equips those he calls. Amen? And you got to understand that to really understand this is that I don't have to worry. Because the Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, he is new creation. Right? The old is gone, the new has come. And the life it says in Galatians, the life I live is not who? It's not mine. It's his. So give it away. And when you start doing that, you start trusting in the Lord with your life and all the tasks you have. Boy, it's true. The Bible says that it's in your weaknesses that he becomes strong. Yeah, your weaknesses that we become strong. And I'm blessed because God has equipped me with a great team around me. I got guys like Zach, I got guys like people that are here, and Steve McGrady, and people that have been pouring their lives. I think of our tech team back there, you know, but it is so true. You can't outgive God. And some of you are missing that. Why? Because you're made in his image. And he's a giver. And when you start focusing on how God can use you, in Acts 17, it says God has appointed every single person for a specific time, for a specific purpose. You know, the other day I was out working on my truck. It's got over 240,000 miles. It's got a long list of things wrong with it. It was smoking, and I'm ready to close the lid on it. And I'm working on my truck, and I'm saying, okay, bye-bye my truck. And my neighbor comes by. And I'm telling him, he introduces himself, and I said, yeah, my truck, and blah, 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 blah. He goes, you can't get rid of this. It's a classic. I go, yeah, but I don't have the money to keep pouring into it. And he goes, well, you don't got to have the money to put into it. And he goes, well, what do you need? He goes, I'm a retired mechanic. And he goes, why don't you just take it to my garage, and I'll fix it for you. I go, I can't have you do that. He goes, no, that's who I am. I have to give. I have to bless. And so we push it over to his house. And of course, he has me working on it with him. You know, he's, I'm not going to let him work on himself. And he goes, what do you do? He goes, I'm a pastor. I go, I'm a pastor. Oh, wow. And we're praying. He's got a story. You know, I don't know if he's here, if Kenny's here. Kenny, are you here? Because he said he's going to come to church today. Because at that time, he goes, you know what I need? Because I need a pastor in my life. So as we're wrenching on the car, we're talking life, and we're stopped. He's praying and believing. He has a disease. And he's bringing healing, and he had early retirement. And you can't outgive God. And there's relationship happening. And the last thing you think you need to do is fix a car. But some of you need to go fix a car. But do it unto Jesus. Amen? Amen. And do it under his strength and not yours. Because many of you, Pastor Joe can do a lot. But as Carolyn knows, man, I crash and burn. Because I'm not that great. And you're not that great. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not that great. Yeah, that's true. Notice, some of you have come in all different kinds of ways. Some of you have come to give and to serve. Some of you think that, you know what, I'm doing the best I can, and hey, look, I'm not Hitler or nothing like that. You know, I'm not that bad of a guy. Look at Obama, look at Trump. I mean, I'm doing okay. Some of you need to hear those words that you're forgiven. And need to come to him for forgiveness. Things that you're ashamed of. Some of us in this room tonight, we just don't get it. We don't get it. We don't get it. But for most of us, I think we get it. We're desperate for him, aren't we? We're in need of his forgiveness. We're in need of his strength and his power and his life. And we've come here to give. Many have already had him touched in your life, but you're saying, boy, Pastor Joe, I've been doing this thing for a long time. But it's time for you to continue to believe, because it's true. It says on that wall, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, because I think it's time for us, church, to get rid of the consumer mindset. Amen? That when we come into this place, or, of course, church is not the building, it's wherever we go. That we give of ourselves. Look for opportunities to give my life away. And I guarantee you that when you do that, you will find it. No longer building your own kingdom, but focusing on him, on his kingdom. Because in him there is life, in him there is purpose, and in him there is joy. Amen? The dreams for you are not over. Maybe they're taking a little bit longer. You're just going to be a bigger tree and a stronger tree because of it. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor Joe, I've been I've been building my own kingdom. I haven't been focusing on what God wants for my life. I've been focusing on what I want for my life. And I'm ready to yield. I'm ready to surrender my life to him, to confess my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of his grace. And the task I have ahead of me, I can't do it. And you need to acknowledge that, because greater that is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so if you're here this morning and you want to respond, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, as your Lord of your life. Maybe you believe in God, but he's not the Lord of your life. All your hopes and dreams are going to be put in him. If you're here, that's you. Maybe lift a hand up where I can see. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord, for these. Thank you, Lord, for these. Any more? There's hands going up everywhere. Thank you, God. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that we shall be saved, and that we do want to believe in the cross, that I am a sinner. Why don't we all say a simple prayer asking Jesus into our hearts to forgive us of our sins, but also to make him Lord of our lives. So Jesus, say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I thank you for the cross. And Jesus, I ask you that you would forgive me. I believe that you died on that cross for my sin. And I also believe that you rose again on the third day. I put my hope, my trust in you. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Help me by your Holy Spirit to put you first. I surrender my kingdom for yours. Here I am, and I believe that you can do all things through me. Amen. Let's stand and declare that this morning.